Get You Fit Radio with your host, Irene Cook, the radio show that keeps you healthy and helps you lead a healthy lifestyle. Well, this is a topic that I have constantly been asked, and it's a really tough one, and it actually stresses me out. But luckily, it doesn't stress me out to the point of opening up a bag of chips and eating the entire thing like I used to do. Stress eating. 38% of adults say they have overeaten unhealthy foods this past month because of stress. Half of these adults, actually 49% of them, report engaging in these behaviors more than once a week. 33% of these adults report overeating or eating unhealthy foods because of stress, they say, because it helps them distract their mind from what they're actually feeling. So my question is, and people question me, is food and is eating a relevant stress deterrent, and is stress eating a real thing? Well, to be completely honest, I had many of these issues myself when I started learning about mindful eating about 10 years ago. And I'm still sorting them out, quite frankly. But I can probably say that I have figured a lot of them out. People eat for many emotional issues and reasons, and stress is one of them. We reward ourselves for hard work to compensate for a bad day or to comfort ourselves when we're feeling sad or lonely or to avoid problems because others are doing it right and we're doing just okay. But as a result, food and stress eating never ends up making us feel better. It actually only makes us feel better during the time that we're eating it. Much like any other addiction, it only satisfies us and pacifies us during the actual time while we're engaging in that activity. As a result, I know for myself, I ballooned to an unhealthy weight of 50 pounds heavier than I am today. And it was a really hard time in changing my unhealthy eating habits. This is when I went on many unhealthy diets, such as Atkins and South Beach and blah, blah, as you may read in my book that I published last year. But I couldn't stick to any of them because none of them were realistic for me. And I kept going back to the stress eating. And when I would get stressed out about not being able to stick to my diet, I would stress eat. So it was like this terrible boomerang. I'm starting a new meal plan program actually this week. And what made me finally pull the trigger on doing this topic is I got a email from somebody that signed up this last weekend, and she had changed her mind. She signed up, paid in full, filled out the application, and along with the application, she emailed me saying that she was really nervous and that she thought she made a terrible mistake and that she didn't think she was going to be able to do this program because she was already stressed out in reading the onboarding guide and the directions and getting started. And in her actual email to me, upon starting with her application, she said that she's a stress eater and that she's going to gain weight just stress eating in getting started for the program. And, you know, of course, because I don't know this person, I didn't know if she was trying to make me laugh or if she was serious or what. But then I thought about it and I thought, oh my gosh, you know, I could see this. I could see somebody just getting so frazzled about wanting to fix this problem with reaching out for help and having it backfire by signing up for yet another program that may or may not work. And as a result, the coping mechanism is more stress eating, which is going to compound the problem. So of course, I reached out to her and I urged her to relax and that I would help her and that the biggest problem for her is stress and that we need to figure out how to cope with stress better and how to find a better strategy for coping with stress to alleviate what her knee-jerk reaction is, and that is grabbing for food. And that's kind of what I'm going to talk about today, because awareness is the start. Most people that tell me that they have this issue are very aware of it. I've yet to see or hear from somebody that isn't aware of this problem. They're very aware of it. So once I became aware of what was going on with me, the next challenge was changing my problem. And this part is not always easy because these are habits that we've built up over the years, and habits that we deal with are very difficult to change. In fact, we can't really change habits. Habits are instilled in us. Research has proven that habits cannot be changed. However, our behaviors and our routines can be changed. So I'm going to explain this throughout the show today. So we have to deal with the stress, and stress is very real. So we have to learn how to cope with the stress, and eating is not the way to cope with stress. I sit here today, 50 pounds lighter, and I've kept it off all these years. And yes, I still do stress out. Believe me, stress is never going to go away. And the stress you have in your 20s is really relevant in your 20s. And you'll look back at it when you're 30 and laugh, just as you'll look back at your stress when you're 50 and laugh at what you stressed at when you were 30. And this is just how life is. So you have to learn how to cope with stress. And eating, like I said, is not the way to do it. So I'm going to give you a process that can be used for any emotional eating. And then I'm going to give you some examples. So how do we deal with emotional eating? This is a process that I recommend for anyone, even if you think you don't have emotional eating issues. It is worth considering because you might not be aware of the issues that you are undercutting in your attempts to eating healthy. First off, learn to eat mindfully for 1 month at least. Pay attention to your emotions as you start thinking about eating. Metacognition is a really powerful word. And it's one that I learned about when I was in school in undergrad for learning to educate children. And metacognition is defined as thinking about your thinking. So I want you to think about your thinking. Pay attention to your thought process. Pay attention to your emotions. Are you hungry? Are you craving to eat something? Notice your emotions as you eat and after you eat as well. Keep a few notes. While you are eating, what emotions do you feel, when and why? What do you feel like eating? And these notes might seem silly and they might seem wasteful at the time, but believe me, when you start this list, they will come together. So as you go and grab food, and you're grabbing your snack tomorrow, write down, are you hungry? Because you're going to go grab a snack tomorrow and you're not going to know why. It's just a knee-jerk reaction because it's a habit. It's built in. There's a cue that happens during the day, whether it's the time of day, whether it's a hunger pain, whether it's an emotion. And when you go to grab for that food, I want you to write down what is causing you to want to eat. Is it hunger? Is it an emotion? Are you bored or are you stressed? And write that down. So that emotion is what we're going to start with. You might think you can handle more than one thing at a time. However, most people can't. So I want you to just start with one thing. I recommend that you start with an emotional trigger. So for example, if you are grabbing at food because you're bored, then we have to start with that. You shouldn't eat because you're bored. I do it all the time. I might be sitting at my computer and I might be needing a break. So I get up and I walk over to the kitchen and I open up the refrigerator. And if you're laughing right now, it's because you do it as well. I will open up the refrigerator and sometimes I will pick at something and go, no, that doesn't taste good. No, that doesn't taste good. It is because I'm not hungry. I am bored. So by writing this down and recognizing that I'm bored, I can change my behavior and I can come up with something else to do for my boredom. I can change that and say, well, you're bored. Why don't you go outside for a quick walk? Do a lap around the house. All right. So if you're getting up and grabbing for food because it's an emotion, if you catch yourself writing down food, grabbing for food because you're stressed, because you're mad, because you're angry, because you're sad, because you're lonely, that is not a means of hunger. And at that point, you can come up with another substitution. So Alcoholics Anonymous is one of the most successful groups in helping people break addictions. They have helped over 10 million people successfully break the habit of alcoholism, which is one that is incredibly hard to break. And the reason they were successful in doing this is they used this exact strategy. They had people define what caused them to reach for alcohol, what emotions they were feeling when they reached for that bottle or got in the car to drive to the bar. And they taught them how to replenish it with something else. And what they replenished it with, believe it or not, is that sponsor and those meetings that they went to. So for stress eaters, the thing that you can replace it with is something else that comforts you. Usually people that eat because they're stressed eat because they are lonely, because they're sad, because they're mad, because they're upset, because they're stressed or feeling overwhelmed. And so depending on what you're stressed with, you need to find another outlet. So I'm going to give some more examples as I continue talking, but finding a healthy way to cope with this stress is going to pull you away from that food. And once you develop this new routine, your body and your mind will no longer seek out that pantry or that refrigerator as part of your habit because you'll have created a new routine. So when the trigger happens, your new coping mechanism will go to the new routine. So let's go back to my coping mechanism. When I'm bored and I need a break, I no longer go to the refrigerator. because my routine has now changed. And when I'm bored, I get up and I go for a quick walk outside. I take a walk outside. I take a lap around my house. I get a fresh breath of air and I fill up my water and I come back to my desk and I feel replenished and refreshed. I don't go to the pantry and grab a bite of potato chips and a handful of baby carrots and some cherry tomatoes to decide that none of those taste good. And I have now created a new routine to satisfy my habit. So if you are somebody that stress eats and you are angry, then you need to find a different outlet that will satisfy that. So angry, you might want to go for a walk. Sad, you might want to pick up the phone and call a friend or get a journal and start logging. Writing out your emotions is going to be so helpful. Meditate. Listen to music. Download a book on tape and Audible that talks about powerful stress building and being empowered and being productive. Unplugging from what you're doing and plugging into listening to someone else talk can do wonders. If you're just joining in, you're listening to WHRULP, and we are talking about how you can overcome stress eating. And basically, the way you do it is to replace the outlet of food with something else. And it can be definitely done. Pay very close attention to your trigger. If you're focusing on your stress, then you're just going to focus on that. If you are focusing on your stress and focusing on how you are going to get up and eat the bag of potato chips, that is what you're going to focus on. Believe me, once you change your routine, your brain is going to focus on that walk. Your brain is going to focus on plugging into that music and listening to that music for 10 minutes and escaping. You are going to want that as much as you want to munch and crunch on that food. And the only difference is the reward will be a lot more satisfying. So let's take a step back. You're triggered. You're stressed. You normally eat a bag of chips. The reward is you're satisfied during the time that you're eating the chips. Then the outcome is you feel worse and now you're more stressed. And the grand outcome is you've gained weight, you feel miserable, and you have lost self-worth. By changing the routine, you are triggered. The stress is not going to go away. There's nothing I can say or do that's going to make stress go away in anyone's life. You're triggered. You've now changed the routine and you have a different outlet. You go for a walk or you plug in and listen to your book on tape or your meditation music, or you stretch or do a quick yoga 5-minute download. Or whatever you decide your outlet is, you call a friend, you journal. The reward is you have accomplished something and you've unplugged and you have not gone to the refrigerator and you have not eaten. And in the big scheme of things, the grand reward is you are not taking a step backwards and gaining that weight. Because in the biggest picture of all, when you are stressed out, stress is a lot worse when you are not feeling good about yourself. And stress is much more complex and much more amplified when you are unhealthy and unfit. So when the trigger happens, use your healthy coping technique. And in the technique of going for that walk and you're getting stressed, every time you notice that trigger, go for the walk, even if it's only for 1 or 2 minutes. And you will strongly, strongly, strongly really want to do that new technique instead. I'm not saying that while you're walking or while you're meditating, you're not going to think about food, but believe me, the urge will specifically, eventually go away. So these are some specific emotions, and I did talk about them earlier, but as you are writing down your emotions when you are grabbing for food and stress eating this week, these are some of the more popular ones that people have admitted to reaching for food in stress eating. First off, it is stress. That is the top one, boredom. Another one is reward. People feel that they have to reward themselves after a long day by eating. Wow, that is not the way to do it. Don't reward yourself with food. Get a massage, take a bath, have tea. Have some downtime. Don't eat food. That's so counterproductive. Comfort, sadness, depression, loneliness. These are all things that people oftentimes mistake for needing food. If you're sad, if you're lonely, pick up the phone, go online and find a support group. And if you're really, truly depressed, you should call your healthcare professional and see if there is something that can be done on that level. And then finally, social. Oftentimes we do eat because it is a way to socialize, or it's because we get together and we eat. Learn other ways to socialize instead. This is something that I actually have been doing for quite some time now. You don't need to get together with your friends and eat. Go for a walk. Meet them at a trail and walk. Play music. Get together. Have fruit instead, or get together and do a craft. Learn how to socialize without eating. It doesn't always have to be food related. So these are some really good strategies. So how do you get back on this track of trying to break the stress eating habit? One, keep that diary. Research shows that most of the time people don't understand why they're doing what they're doing all day long. We are in these habitual patterns, and the only way to break it is to become aware of them. Metacognition, think about your thinking. So jot down why you are grabbing for food. Are you hungry? Are you bored? Are you sad? Why are you doing that? Take time to identify your stress. Think about different ways to cope with that stress. Take away the temptation also. Don't have stressful foods out where you can grab things that are going to tempt you. Snack healthy. If you really do need to have a snack, because snacks are important, have them be healthy. And certainly having that healthy snack is going to help you avoid grabbing at something and mindlessly munching. That's another thing people do when they're stressed is they skip meals. They skip lunches, they work through their dinner time, and then they end up mindlessly munching for hours on end. So don't be a victim of that as well. And certainly learn from your setbacks. If you have an episode of emotional eating, forgive yourself and start fresh the next day. Try to learn from that experience and make a plan for how you can prevent it in the future. Always focus on those positive changes you're making on your eating habits and give yourself credit for making those changes that will lead to a better health. For some people, emotional eating is actually a learned behavior. During our childhood, our parents oftentimes will give us treats to reward us for a long, hard day. As children, our generation, not so much now anymore, but our generation, our teachers would reward us with candy and crackers and cookies for doing good things at school. and it's always food related. Over time, the child who reaches for the cookie is the child who did a good job, and we are just used to being rewarded with food. So change that and be aware of that with your own children so that you don't end up creating emotional eaters in them. And finally, a nutritionist or doctor could also help provide a referral or an expert in additional information on creating positive eating habits and a better relationship for you with food. But definitely try out these strategies and keep in mind, the bottom line is this: food does not solve anybody's problem. In fact, it makes the problem worse. I tell my clients it's like scratching a mosquito bite. It only feels good while you're scratching it. And then afterwards, you have a bigger problem. So don't scratch the mosquito bite. Take care of the problem before it gets worse. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your day. Let's go. Your time is running out. I'm talking here and now. I'm talking here and now. It's not about what you've done, it's about what you do. It's all about where